Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, myself and Ashley Coffin are going to talk about a little bit about Fantastic Four casting. Rumors of Henry Cavill are swirling around the MCU. We'll find out what we think about those and lots of your feedback about the Deadpool trailer and all kinds of more things. So we'll be right back after this.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Ashley Coffin.
Ashley, what is happening, my friend?
I'm so sorry to get derailed, but it's like I just looked up the Fantastic Four thing to see what how to say Ebon Moss Bacharach's name. And it's weird. They have Adam Driver's name there, too, which we know isn't true. Dan Stevens from Legion. I'm like, wait a minute. Don't gaslight me, because I want Adam Driver to be Dr. Doom so bad.
Yeah, I hear you. It's funny. I don't feel that way. I think I like Adam Driver fine, but I think like I was fine with what he did in like Star Wars. I don't know that I really need him for Reed Richards.
Oh no, not Reed Richards.
Oh, you're talking about Doom. Oh yeah. No, I can see that for sure. But it also like I see why he wouldn't want
too many
to.
Masks.
Who knows? Yeah, it's just it feels like the same. I know it's not the same character, obviously. But like it feels so, it feels like he would carry all the baggage of Kylo Ren with him. Like you'd start to feel like the character of Dr. Doom is more like Kylo Ren than you want to. You know what I mean? Like he'd start to feel petulant just because we are used to the petulant version of.
Maybe Adam's a pretty good driver. Adam's a pretty good
very
actor.
Good driver. Very good driver. Yeah. No, I agree. I completely agree. He's great in other things. I think it would be hard because the mask thing and the villain thing, it just feels like it's so similar that I think it would just come with baggage is all I'm saying. I'm not saying he couldn't overcome it for sure, but it would come with baggage. So I see why the Marvel wouldn't want it possibly, and he probably wouldn't want to do something so similar.
Yeah.
Another like mustache twirling villain that like sits behind a mask or whatever.
Well, he can wait till his money starts running out, and then we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I'm looking at you, Zoe Saldana.
So, what do you think of the cast that we do have that's official?
I'm very excited about Vanessa Kirby. I also feel like I wasn't too surprised because this has been leaked for a while that it was going to be these four. I think Joseph Quinn is an interesting casting. I think he's really popular right now, which is good. You always see Johnny Storm as like the Chris Evans, like the hot, you know, frat house kind of looking guy. So it'll be an interesting take because, what is he, weak in English? Sorry. He's so small. But I don't know. I love him a lot because I loved him on Stranger Things, just like everybody else. And, you know, nobody could get enough of Eddie Munson. So that's great. I don't know how I feel about Pedro Pascal. I love him. I love him in everything that he's in. But I'm at this point, I'm like, how do I not just see Pedro Pascal? Like, is he going to be able to disappear into a Reed Richards?
Yeah.
The way that I need him to. I'm not saying I'm not looking forward to it. I'm just a little iffy about it. I'm like, oh, because I would have liked them to, like, I love when Marvel finds people to fit these roles who we haven't seen. Like, I talk about it all the time, the Tom Hiddlestons or the Chris Hemsworths or the people, you know, who come into these roles, even Miss Marvel. Like, find somebody who can really fit the role instead of going with this guy's going to put asses in the seats.
Yeah. 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 I feel that. I do feel that. I think that, there's definitely a fear of that. The same way I was just talking about with Kylo Ren and like Adam Driver moving into a similar role. Like you carry the baggage from your previous roles if they're iconic enough. The thing about Pedro, I think, while we all feel like some of his roles are very iconic, I think, some of his biggest roles, like I don't know. His biggest role is probably The Mandalorian, where his face is covered. So it's like, I don't know that he'll carry the same baggage, to me at least.
I always go to Game of Thrones. It's the first place I saw him.
Yeah, I was about to say that's one that Game of Thrones and also Last of Us, of course, are the two that like he's shown his face and like I think of him.
We don't talk about Wonder Woman 1984.
Oh yeah, no, thank you. I completely forgot that he plays Max Lord or whatever.
I know, right? Yeah. We liked him so much on Game of Thrones that, like, I'm not going to spoil what happens, but what happens with his character, my husband was almost done with the show. Mm-hmm. I've never seen him have a reaction like that. You're so mad because he's so great.
Yep. He's so good. And this thing, but his character in that, like, I don't think of Oberon and Joel from Last of Us as similar at all. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I do think that he so far has been able to disappear into his roles. And those three major ones specifically. And I always think about it just because it's so different. His role in that Nick Cage movie. Like, those four roles are completely distinct to me. I think he has the ability to disappear into roles. It's just like, what is he going to do with this? Is he going to make it different? Or is it going to be too similar to one of those? I don't think so. Reed Richards doesn't feel similar to any of those. He feels little pieces of those feel right, but not, not holistically similar.
What's the age gap between him and Vanessa Kirby? It's like 15, 20 years?
I don't know. That's a good question.
And I kind of hope they let Sue Storm and Johnny Storm be English. I don't know why, but I really want them to have their accents.
Oh, yeah? That's funny.
Yeah, they're both English.
No, man.
Joseph Quinn.
Don't be making the first family English. Come on.
Just two of them.
No.
Inclusiveness.
America.
And I hope Pedro Pascal has an accent, too. Let's do this.
Yeah, they're 13 years apart. 35 and 48.
Okay, that's not so bad.
Nah, not too bad. And it's like, she's old enough that it's like, it's not too creepy. Like, that's the thing. It's like, if you got like that same age difference at 18 or whatever, I'd be like, oh, I don't know about this, guys. But
yeah,
that age difference at 35 and 48 doesn't seem so bad.
And Ebon Moss, I really wanted Bill Burr to be the thing. I was kind of like pulling for it with my own campaign because I thought he would be so good at it. I thought he has the anger, the voice. It would have just been really funny. But I don't watch The Bear, but I've seen that guy. I mean, The Punisher. Remember, he was
He was a micro in The Punisher.
Yeah. He's in a ton of stuff. Let me look. He was in Andor.
Oh, yeah. Do you remember who he was in Andor at all? He was one of the prisoners that Andor had to like get through, like work with or whatever in the prison. And he was a real standout in that too.
Yeah. The Menu is really good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he has a really good... he was in the Royal Tenenbaums.
Oh, wow. I didn't remember that.
Ooh, stealth. Boo. No, he's got a lot going on in his IMDb here.
Yeah. Like, he's been kicking around for a while. I mean, he's been in another Marvel property like 10 years ago with Punisher. So, I'm pumped for him, man. I think he's a great fit for this character specifically, and so much of it matters with the voice, and that's just so he's got a great voice for it. So very gravelly.
Yeah.
But he does angry and like sort of like that get away from me anger really well from the bear.
Yeah. Good. I have to watch that at some point. It's just too much. Yeah. There's too much to watch.
Way too much to watch. We were talking about it in the patron hang yesterday, and we were like talking about how like, it feels weird. Right now, there's not that much coming out, and it feels still like there's nothing to watch, but also so much, and it's just impossible to decide, and yeah. It's weird. It's a weird time. I feel like I'm looking for a good show to get into. I actually found myself like really like kind of sad this week, and I realized like I just haven't had my escapism that I need. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have a good show that I'm like thinking about their course of their like arcs and all the characters and what they're gonna do to defeat the enemy, and like my brain's not cooking on anything right now, so like I have to just like sit and think about real life and like bills and mortgages and this sort of escapism is so important to me.
Yeah, well, that's why we're so deep into our Oscars watch, not just the best picture, now we're like halfway through all of the movies, so every movie is in a different like emotion, so we're just going through these up and down roller coasters as we go through these different movies. Like, ugh,
That's awesome.
It's heavy, but it's good because we went through having absolutely nothing to watch, it felt like, for a while, to now we have just like way too much stuff to watch.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay. This is a rumor, complete rumor. Don't give it any, don't even give it a grain of salt. It's a rumor, but there's rumors going around the internet saying that Henry Cavill has been cast in an unknown role for the MCU. I feel like these kind of rumors happen all the time.
Constantly with him.
Yeah, and Henry Cavill. I do think bringing Henry Cavill over would probably be a good business decision for Marvel.
Yeah.
There's a big, like, huge nerd contingent of, like, Snyder fanboys that feel like, you know, Henry Cavill really got shafted over at DC.
And if they brought him into them.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with them. But some of those same people are the people who kind of hate on the MCU because it's sort of that DC Marvel dichotomy thing. And like, I think there's a contingent that would be like swayed over to check out the next Marvel thing or be a little more excited if Henry Cavill got a really meaty role.
Yeah. I don't want to see him as a villain just because even in the Mission Impossible movie, I believe it was, where he was a villain, I didn't buy it. He just doesn't come across as a villain to me because he just looks like he's such a nice guy. And I might be because I just see Superman when I look at him. I mean, I honestly don't think there is ever a better cast for Superman. I think what happened to him over there is kind of is BS. I mean, he left The Witcher to go do this James Gunn Superman project. And then they let him go, going with, I guess, this whole like younger cast, which is totally fine. But now we don't have him as The Witcher. And now we don't have him as Superman. So yeah, Marvel needs to sweep in and pick him up. But I don't want him to be Dr. Doom. I think he'd be a great Brian Braddock, like Captain Britain.
Yeah. It feels like we're in such a insecure place with all this media. Like so many things are being announced and then retracted. And like people are losing jobs and getting it just, I don't know if that's because like, media is different now and moves faster and we're just knowing about things before they happen and like knowing about things that are supposed to happen and they don't happen and so we get our like mind set on things, or if it's just like if we're in a different time, because Marvel used to feel very secure but now I feel like there's a lot of like shifting around going on in the background, even more so than there used to be, because I mean there always has been, but like it does feel like it's more lately.
Yeah.
And obviously with DC, there's been a lot.
What would you think about him being Cyclops?
Ooh. Great look for Cyclops.
We could just red that hair up a little bit.
Yeah. I like it. I like that. That's really good.
Mm-hmm. If you put that mask on him and the red glasses, like that hides. It doesn't hide who he is because, you know, that body, but you know like it kind of masks like, oh no, it's not Superman, it's Scott Summers, you know. I think that would be fun.
I do think that could work, and I mean, like, to me, Cyclops has always been that like Boy Scout character for the X-Men, so like that could work really well, and I think he has the attitude and the voice that could really pull it off, that leadership. Come on, X-Men.
There's something about Cyclops that kind of does have to be like not just that soldier boy, good boy, but he has to kind of be a little hot because, you know, he gets Jean and Jean stays, you know, he's the leader of the X-Men. He's married to Jean. You have to, as much as you hate him, you have to pick somebody who is also going to be likable, because it's really easy to just hate him in the comics or in the TV show because you're like, God, I can't stand you, but he's just a cartoon character. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to put him on screen, have it be someone likable. So you're like, oh, I want to dislike what you're doing, but God, I like you. And you're usually right.
Yeah, that's the thing is you do have to like him. You have to root for him. But I do think he's kind of like, to me, the hotness vibes you're talking about are always kind of undercut by the fact that like, yeah, but Jean also has a thing for Wolverine. You know, like
she never leaves him.
Yeah, but that's because like Scott always feels like safe. You know what I mean? Like it's this difference between like this hot, safe dynamic. And like, I'm not saying that Cyclops isn't an attractive man. With like, you know, and if Henry Cavill took the role, obviously he'd be hot. There's also just like sort of this, I don't know, him. It's undercut by that. So like, I don't know.
I'm like, blow my mind, Marvel. Make Charlie Hunnam Wolverine and Henry Cavill Cyclops and make it be a real problem for Jean.
Oh, man. I like Charlie Hunnam as Wolverine. That's really good.
Me too.
That's really good. We've been talking about doing a X-Men casting episode or whatever. And like that would, you're doing a good job over there.
Thanks. Write them down. Put it on the board.
Put it on the board. Dude, Charlie Hunnam as Wolverine would be really, really good.
I've always felt bad for Charlie Hunnam. I feel like he never really got his foot in the door. He's gotten to be leading roles in movies, mm-hmm. and they never really, people didn't like them. I liked them. I liked the Guy Ritchie King Arthur movie. I thought that was good. I thought he was great in the other Guy Ritchie movie, like The Gentleman, but I mm-hmm. loved him on Sons of Anarchy, but he just seems like he can't really break through, even though he's been a leading role in a lot of movies. And I think getting him into something like the MCU would really, you know, start getting him the accolades and attention that he deserves.
Yeah, I agree. I think that getting him into something more recognizable that people would really know him as, like, I mean, obviously, if you're Wolverine, the next 20 years of your life, you're going to be like, oh, that guy, everybody knows his name, you know?
Did you watch Rebel Moon?
No. Is he in it?
They advertised that like he was a main star in it. He was in for 15 minutes and I was really disappointed.
Dang. So
How dare they?
Bryan Cranston and Godzilla'd you.
Yes.
That movie, all the trailers are Bryan Cranston all over him at the height of Breaking Bad fame, and then he's in it for 4 minutes or whatever.
They're like, psych.
Cyclops. Sorry.
And then they mess everybody up by having Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch be lovers in that. I did not care for that multiverse.
Oh.
Remember Adam Taylor? I always want to call him Anya Taylor-Johnson, but it's Adam Taylor-Joy. No, wait, that's wrong.
Adam Taylor-Johnson
and Elizabeth Olsen. Aren't they the main people in that Godzilla movie?
It's not Adam, is it? Taylor-Johnson. Aaron.
Aaron!
I knew it wasn't Adam.
I'll go see Kraven the Hunter, even if that's on mute. God damn.
Yeah, he looks good in that. I am down for Kraven, even though, and I know we you haven't seen it, but Madam Web, we discussed pretty intensely on last episode.
Tell me about it. Give me a 5 minute.
It's, you know,
what did you think?
It's terrible, but had potential. There's like some cool things, but it's mostly bad. It's mostly really bad. And I keep thinking about how much it feels like Final Destination, because the whole, here's what they should have done. If it was me doing it, first of all, replace Dakota Johnson immediately. We joked actually in the patron hang yesterday, we were joking about how they should have Eric Stoltz did her. Like, she like got there, did 2 weeks on the movie and been like, oh, this is bad. We got to replace her and taken her out like they did in Back to the Future with Eric Stoltz.
Oh, poor Eric Stoltz.
Yeah, I know. But like, you got to get the vibe of the movie. And she did not get the vibe.
Well, that was my main worry. It was her.
Yeah, she's terrible. So she's bad. And then the movie, the way this movie works, I think, and it would have worked really well, is if it was really leaning into being a like horror movie, sort of like Final Destination, where because there's these glimpses of the future and the girls keep dying and she, so spoiler alert, I guess if you're interested, skip forward 2 minutes or something. There's this, the whole movie is like all these girls, she keeps getting visions of their death. Then she has to like zoom back in time and stop it. So she keeps doing that. But what would have made this movie is have been rated R and the deaths had been brutal. Like, it would have been a killer horror movie if like these same three girls just keep getting like, and also one of the most effective things to me about the movie that like was an interesting choice. Yes, exactly. Like, just brutal death, reset, do it again. Like that. And that's all through the movie, but it's always the same thing. He just grabs them and like cracks their neck. It's so unimaginative. He's Spider-Man, basically. Like, he's not. He's like this, but he's wearing a Spider-Man suit. He has a lot of the Spider-Man powers. And that was another thing that I found really effective about the movie that I never would have thought of. It kind of reminded me of that movie Brightburn, where like,
right. I like
what would you do if one of the big heroes is now just evil? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And so the whole movie is Spider-Man, basically a Spider-Man analog in a black and red spider suit, chasing these women and murdering them, and she keeps having to fix it. So like, that's a cool idea, but you gotta get rid of Dakota Johnson. And I think if they like really steered into the horror and made it like rated R and made it like, this is Final Destination and Spider-Man is like webbing them up and then suffocating them in one, and then the next one he's like pulling them apart with his super strength, and the next one he's like, whatever, do that sort of thing, and then it's like, she zooms back and has to stop it. Like, that would have felt like Final Destination does, and it would have felt cool and also felt weird because you're fearing Spider-Man, you know? Like,
oh, yeah.
But instead, it's just a mess. And it feels almost like they were going for that, but they also wanted to capture, like, the comic book movie audience, so they just made this weird middle of the road, and then they put Dakota Johnson in it, and that was the worst choice ever. But there are good things in the movie and really interesting ideas.
And that's the thing. It's like, not to sound shallow, but I mean, she's gorgeous. She's so beautiful. But it's like, sometimes for me, because I'm shallow, like Kraven the Hunter, that movie doesn't look great, but I'll watch that because dude's hot and I like, you know, looking at hot things. When your movie's so bad that the hot person can't even like get you through it, that's a problem. Right. You know, it's like, right. Oh, God, it's like, I just, anybody else. Because I do think she's stunningly beautiful, but just because you're stunningly beautiful doesn't make you a good actress. You know,
oh, for sure.
With lines like, I'm not sticking that up my butt, are the only things that I remember from her movies, you know, from 50 Shades of Grey. She says some, she's like, what are those? He's like, butt plugs. And she's like, I'm not sticking anything up my butt. Guess what? She does. And she loved it. So, you know, that's what I remember of Dakota Johnson.
All right. Well, good.
Listen, if you get time to hate watch the 50 Shades of Grey things, you will never laugh. I've never laughed as hard as I have during movies, as I did no comedy movie in the world. Like, by the time you get to the third one, you're like, okay, I can't do this anymore. But the first two, my goodness, you just laugh your way through the whole things. It's hysterical.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, that's really how she acts. Because I was like, this chick is a great actor. If she's putting on this, like, because that's how the character is. But then you're like, oh, no, that's just you. That's yeah. just you.
Yeah, it's a real sad thing. And like,
the nepo of all nepo babies.
Exactly. It really bums me out. The nepotism of it all bums me out more than anything, because it's just like, so many actresses would have done a great job with that role and would have really loved to have it.
It's like, I know your stepdad is Antonio Banderas. Why don't you go run some lines with him?
Yeah, like, get some advice. I don't know. Like, yeah. And who knows? Let me say this about Madam Web. I've been watching a lot of reviews of it because I'm sort of like fascinated, like a car wreck, seeing the like terrible reviews, just like how bad they are. But also, like, it annoys the crap out of me when people hate on the movie for things that aren't wrong with it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Like, they start talking about how terrible all the actors are. And I'm like, no, it's not true. Like, Adam Scott's amazing. I think the three spider women are actually really good. And if they, in any other movie, would have worked well. Like, they're not given much to do. The script has them basically just being like it probably could have been one of them, but like, they go for this sort of like three young girls sort of bouncing jokes around and stuff. And I think it works. I think those actresses all showed up. Sydney Sweeney was awesome. Like, they all showed up and did their thing, and it's just, yeah, it's just, it feels like the internet is just trying to shit on every piece of the movie instead of, like, giving it thought. And I think the movie isn't as bad as some people are saying, but it's terrible. Like, and that's what, it puts me in this weird position where I feel like I'm defending the movie, and I'm like, it's bad. Like, I know it's bad, but I don't know.
Well, I also read Dakota Johnson said that they changed the entire script on her after she signed her contract. So that there was a whole different story, and then she just had to fall in line and do whatever this was.
Obviously, I have no idea what the story was before, but
I think Andrew Garfield was going to be in it. It was going to be way more Spider-Man based.
There've been rumors of that too.
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. There's all kinds of rumors about it. But you can just tell something went drastically different because so many lines are poorly ADR'd. Like, there's the character of Ezekiel Sims, the bad guy. Almost every line he speaks, almost every single line he speaks is with his head turned away from the camera, and the audio, it clearly doesn't match the room. You know what I mean? Right. Like, it's clearly ADR'd. It's a insane amount of ADR, and there's also just scenes where he just, like, straight up, his mouth doesn't match what he's saying. Like, it's bad. It's really, really bad.
Bill Brio is telling me about that, and I was like, what do you mean? How do you get through the millions and millions of dollars it takes to make a movie, and then you have people watching it in the final cut? How did nobody go, okay, this is terrible? Or did they just go, ah, whatever, throw it out there? And this is what I don't like about Sony.
I'm with you. I'm unhappy anytime a movie is like so much work goes into it, so much money goes into it, so many of our eyeballs are going to take our time to go see it, and they just let certain things through that should never get through. Like, they should have just started over once they got some of this bad stuff going on. I don't know.
Yeah. They need to do their, when they do the showings before they drop stuff out, like, Sony, we are completely willing. Fly us out. We'll watch your movie and then we'll let you know. And you should listen to us. You know, not even just us, just have a group of people who are fans of the thing. I honestly think you should have them in the beginning in the writing room so someone in the background could be like, I don't think you should do that, you know?
Yeah.
Just somebody.
Yeah. One thing that really pissed people off, and a few people I've heard talk about it, and it didn't bother me, like, really at all, but a lot of people are really pissed off because they took the with great power come great responsibility and twisted it and reversed it. With
great responsibility comes great power.
Exactly.
You
they beep, didn't say
beep,
that.
Beep, kidding
that's,
me?
That's not exactly what they said. She's trying. And it could be specific to Madame Web. It's like a whole thing. One of the characters is talking to Madame Web and tells her, like, she's worried about trying to save these girls and taking on the responsibility. She's like, I don't want to get involved. Blah. And he's like, once you take on the responsibility, you will find great power. And like, see, I knew you'd have that reaction. And a lot of fans had that reaction. I didn't. I actually, I think the line is fine. Like, it's that line, it's not the same, clearly. It's an inversion of it. But to, anyway, we talked about it a lot on the last episode. But like, because Jay Scotty felt the same way. Jay Scotty was like, bleh. And like, I was like, no.
Me and Jay Scotty are always, somehow, we're Madam Webbing, apparently.
Yeah, you guys are connected
about the Fantastic Four.
Fantastic Four, too, yeah. Oh, man.
Well, there's some feedback in there, so we'll get to it a little bit more. We'll this is not the end of Madam Web for this episode.
Madam Web will return in the later parts of this episode. Before we get into Deadpool feedback, or any feedback, let's talk about hymns. Real talk, 52% of men over 40 experience some form of ED between the ages of 40 and 70. But it's always a taboo topic. Well, around here at the MCU Guest, we don't think it should be a taboo topic. It is a real thing. And if you have this issue, you should check out Hims. Hims is changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable and discreet sexual health treatments, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to clinically proven generic alternatives to Viagra and Cialis, up to 95% cheaper, with options as low as $2 a dose. So it's just a great way to, discreetly get a chance to check out these products if it's something that you are having an issue with. And they have a medical professional. Process is simple, 100% online. No uncomfortable doctor's visits, but you just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the treatment option is right for you. If they prescribe you the medication, it ships to you for free in discreet packaging.
Discreet packaging is very important. And, you know, you don't need insurance. You know, you pay one low price for your treatments, online visits, and ongoing shipments. And, provider messaging, so you get to talk, you can keep talking to them if you have questions.
Yeah. So you're not just like ordering from a website and just getting it. You have the chance to actually check with a medical provider and talk through the issues. So it's pretty cool. I've used online pharmacies before for various issues, and like sometimes it's a really great thing to just be able to do it all online. Doctor's visits and like obviously the embarrassment of some of that, if depending on what the issue is, but also just like dealing with insurance, trying to get the right place, and like, is this in network? Is that in network? This is just all avoids that whole system. It's just all online. You can talk to a medical provider, no insurance necessary. So start your free online visit today at hims.com/MCU. That's hims.com/MCU for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/MCU. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website and details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. So check out Hims, everybody, if that's something that you're in need of. Don't be embarrassed about it.
Yeah, no embarrassment, no shame. Your lover will thank you.
Your lover will thank you. hims.com/MCU. Okay, so I think we'll dive into some feedback here.
Let's do it.
I like this one. Serena Altair, one of our patrons, said, Hey, Ashley, Matt, and Jeff. I've been a listener for a bit over a year and have been dying to join the Patreon.
Oh, welcome.
Yeah, absolutely. Money is tight, but you guys bring me so much joy. When you read all that Sophic content last week, I knew I couldn't wait a minute longer to start supporting. Here's to you three, to Canon Val Carol, to Bishova, Kate plus Yelena, I like it, and to Ashley seeing boobs in the Deadpool trailer. Love you 3000. Thank you, Serena.
I see boobs everywhere. I love breasts.
She's like that little kid from The Sixth Sense, but it's like, I see boobs.
I see boobs. We were just watching that Curb where it's he's doing the fatwas play, and they bring out the signer to, you know, be signing during the play, and she just is gorgeously endowed, and nobody is watching the play, and everyone's just watching the signer, and Larry David's freaking out. He's like, nobody's even watching the fatwas. It's just so funny. Because like all the women, everyone's just staring. It's so good. And then they get her to do Susie and Jeff's daughter's wedding, and then in the middle Susie gets up and she's like, you out of here, I'm sorry, you need to go, cover up, get out. It's just so funny. I love that show.
Did you see, I don't know, it was funny, my algorithm became
boobs.
Yes. But specific boobs. I'm trying to remember the artist's name. Crap.
Very specific boobs.
Right now, I'm searching musical guest boobs.
Boobs. Let's see how that goes.
Let's see how that goes. Nope, didn't work out. Britney Spears came up. Come on. Who? Yeah. I'm sorry. I had a hard time finding it. But Renee Rapp was the name. But what was so funny is the next day, my TikTok was just Renee Rapp being watched by women. Like that was my TikTok. It was just people like reacting, women reacting with their like mouths open to Renee Rapp dancing around and her shirt being open and basically just wearing a bra and like very exposed. She's also apparently in the new Mean Girls musical.
Yeah.
Which I'd like to see. But anyway, so my entire For You page was just like that video, same video of her dancing around and like women responding to it. And then I started getting other ones where people were going like, just so you know, if you've had Renee Rapp all over your Instagram, it's because you're a lesbian, basically. Like, so yes. Somehow my TikTok algorithm thought I was a lady, first of all, and like thought that like it was feeding me, like all these people kept feeding, like saying like, yeah, that's not on everyone's FYP. That's on yours because you like women. And I was like, I do like women, but like, it was funny.
That's funny.
Moral of the story. My algorithm thought I was a lesbian, apparently.
Good. I bet you had some good videos.
Yeah, I want to see that. Have you seen
the Mean Girls? I haven't yet. I'm going to wait till it comes onto like some streaming service, I'm sure. So everybody who doesn't know this about me, but Mean Girls is based off of my high school.
Oh, yeah,
Tina Fey's from Upper Darby.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah, so I have a lot of ties to the first one, and it's hard to see a remake, even though Tina's so involved. It's the Philly thing. I'm like, no, I refuse to accept this, but I will see it at some point.
Yeah, all right, cool.
It's just like, why does that need to be remade? But it's a musical, so I'll definitely see the musical, you know, because it is a musical.
Oh, yeah? I didn't know you were so, like, needing to see the musical. Needing to see musicals.
I love musicals.
Oh, I don't think I knew this. I mean, I knew you liked some musicals. I didn't know it was like one of your favorite genres, though. That's cool. Well, thank you anyway, Serena, again, for joining the Patreon. You know, if you guys are out there struggling, we don't want you to like spend your last dime on the Patreon, but we really appreciate anyone who does have the funds and can support. Like, it means a lot.
Yeah, keep sending in feedbacks, Serena. That was great.
Yeah, it's great.
Good first one. I loved it.
Yeah, I liked it. When she first said, she said, here's to three of you. And then she mentioned the three, lesbian content things that we had.
I'm tired of Jeff getting accolades. He is not here. Okay? He is not here. So let's just talk about that, okay?
But the three of them were. He should talk about that. She didn't name, but the first one she said was Canon Val Carol, and I thought she meant me. Like I thought she was trying to give me a nickname, Canon, like. Like, also I love canon, and I love head cannoning things.
Yeah.
So I was like, I thought she was giving me a nickname, Canon Val Carroll, and I was like,
yeah, that's
I'm
cool.
Confused. I'm confused by that. And then I started reading. I was like, oh no, these are just the things we talked about. Okay, got it. let's get on to some Deadpool feedback. We got a few people writing about Deadpool. Rachel Titsworth, one of our patrons, says, "Hey y'all, I have some Deadpool plot thoughts after seeing the trailer. I am wondering about what his mission from the TVA is and what would motivate him to go on the mission. Marvel Jesus complex aside, what if he has to go back in time of the MCU to fix many incursions between the Fox universe and ours in order to prevent one or both from being destroyed and save his friends? In the snowy area of the trailer, it looks like that opening battle scene from Ultron. Maybe he has to correct something with Wanda and Pietro. Maybe in WandaVision 2? Ooh. Not sure what other moments would fit into this idea other than the end credits of the Marvels, but that came out so recently it would be tough to coordinate. But it also seems like he is going to be fighting the TVA in the trailer too, so what would change his mind that the mission was the right thing to do? I'm rarely right on my theories, though, so who knows? Thanks for reading my rambling thoughts. I'm pumped for the movie. Love y'all 3000. Rachel."
You know what I just thought of and I would absolutely love?
What's that?
So say Deadpool and Wolverine go to Vormir and they stop that, because if either one of those fall off of the cliff, they're gonna live. So how does that work? you tricked the gatekeeper, because Deadpool loves Wolverine, so he would have to push Wolverine off the cliff and then he would fall down there and like die for a second, and then they would hand over the stone or whatever, and then he just like gets up and I'm like, and then I have Scarlet Witch back. Please do that.
You mean Black Widow back, right?
No, yeah, Black Widow.
Black Widow.
Or Gamora. Yeah.
That's pretty good. Save them both. Do it inverted in each one. Like, eventually Wolverine comes
Wolverine doesn't love him. They would need to bring Spider-Man in, because Spider-Man and Deadpool love each other too. And I feel like I saw that somewhere, but like the Wolverine would, we know Wolverine and Deadpool are both in this movie. Can we please get, oh yeah, Scarlett Johansson. That's what I was doing. Can we please get Black Widow back?
Yeah. It is confusing the way that Scarlet Witch, Scarlett Johansson, that's always weird. There's also there's just when the names of the real actors mix up with the names of the characters. And right now we've got Vanessa Kirby coming in as obviously Jack Kirby is the guy who created the Fantastic Four. It's kind of weird, you know?
That is weird.
Yeah. It's neat. I think no relation, but it's neat. Mm-mm. Okay. So first off, Rachel asks, what do we think his mission is from the TVA? I have no idea.
I honestly don't have any idea either.
I have no idea.
It's probably going to be something very Loki-ish, but it, not like Loki was like, oh, you have to go get your own people. No, I take that. I don't even know what it, I don't know.
Also don't think he's going to act. Yeah, I don't know which way the inversion's going to happen. Maybe the classic thing is resist the call, right? The quest giver comes to you with a quest, you resist it, and then you have to come around to doing the thing you didn't want to do. Yeah. But in Deadpool's case, he doesn't work by normal hero's journey logic at all. Mm-hmm. So it's if they come to him with the thing, is he just going to blow it off and then eventually come back to it and then blow it off again? Or is he going to decide he wants to be Marvel Jesus? Which also, that's a whole confusing thing we haven't talked about on this show, but I've heard it mentioned out in the world. He calls himself Marvel Jesus directly to Paradox. Who called it Marvel, right?
I thought we did talk, because I thought that was weird when we were doing our trailer breakdown. Where is he getting the Marvel from?
Oh, okay,
it was
gotcha.
Us, yeah.
Okay, cool. I know we've talked about it, I know it's been talked about a lot. I didn't think we'd talked about it. But yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. I mean, we have Captain Marvel.
Right, sure.
So the name is kind of out there, but yeah, that is weird.
I'm wondering if it's even in the movie. It might just be a funny line they did for the trailer, you know?
How we were saying that maybe the Fox symbol's not actually in the desert.
Yeah. I'll be really disappointed if it's not, though. I think
Me
that's
too.
Such a funny joke. The way they have the trailer cut, he says that, And then Paradox looks like he hears him and responds to it. Like, so that's what's tricky. Because normally Deadpool can say whatever the fuck he wants about, like, Hugh Jackman or Fox or Disney. And he's right. talking to the camera and everyone around him just thinks he's crazy. Like, they don't know what he's talking about.
He said it right to Mr. Darcy, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And he answers. Because I would have been very different if he was like, I'm Marvel Jesus, and looks at the camera. But he did not.
No, he's looking directly at him and he answers him. So, yeah, it is weird. If that's actually in the movie, that is weird. And that means that the TVA also knows they're Marvel. There's been a bunch of speculation I've heard on other like YouTube channels and stuff about, like, you know, the idea that this could be all tied into, like, Kevin from you know, She-Hulk and stuff, like the robot, and like maybe they'll tie all this together, and like whoever Deadpool is talking to and She-Hulk is talking to is actually characters out in the world and stuff like that, like some sort of, you know, tie in to Secret Wars and the Beyonders, I've heard mentioned. Yeah, like, I don't know. There's just all this. It could be, but it also just could be Deadpool being crazy. And the trailer could be cut deceptively.
Yeah. I don't trust you, Marvel.
Yeah, I don't either. She says, what if she goes back into the timeline to the MCU to fix many incursions between Fox Universe and ours? That could be cool. And that would put him in a bunch of the interesting places for the MCU, like WandaVision. Like, when the Fox version of Quicksilver shows up, like, he could be, like, trying to fix whatever she's doing when she calls the wrong Quicksilver over from the other universe, you know?
Yo, I have one better. What if he saves Pietro?
Oh, yeah.
In Age of Ultron, that might stop the darkness Wanda change, you know?
Oh,
there would be somebody there for her.
Yeah, and then we get, like, a whole other rewrite of who Wanda is at this point.
Ugh. Yeah. You could just start over.
Yeah, well, you could do all kinds of things and have these, like, divergent universes. They could, in this movie, they could present a new Wanda that hasn't have all the trauma, like, or the later trauma. Like, what if she gets to keep Vision? What if they get to keep Quicksilver? And, like, she doesn't create Westview. And then, like, she's just a new character in an alternate timeline, and Deadpool grabs her and brings her over. You know, they could totally do that. Oh, it's crazy.
I love that.
It would be very Loki-ish, you know, like we've talked about how Loki is not exactly our Loki, but he is our Loki.
Right. Oh, congratulations on Loki for winning best show in some award show this past weekend.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, they won something. So good for you guys.
Good job winning at an award show. We're not sure what it was. Wasn't the Emmys, right? Like, that was
No, that was, I think the BAFTAs were last night, but okay. I can't imagine that was on there. Let me see. Let me look it up. People's Choice Award for Best Sci-Fi Fantasy Show of 2023.
Nice. Love that.
Yeah, so it was Loki, American Horror Story, Mandalorian, Ahsoka, The Witcher, Ghost, Secret Invasion, and Black Mirror, and Loki won. That's of the stacked.
One, that is a stacked cast of stacked category of the ones that I've seen. I definitely go with Loki, even though I like some of the others. Loki's just
what
so
is
good.
Secret Invasion doing there? Was that just like a we have to add them?
Yeah, I don't know why that's on there. That's a terrible idea. Who's campaigning for that? Like, who's trying to get them?
Disney.
Go Disney. So, what would change his mind that the mission was the right thing to do? I think, like, this whole thing is going to be based on the way the trailer starts with his friends. Like, I think this whole movie is going to be like him getting on some sort of mission and then realizing he needs to change his mind because it would actually erase his universe. You know, like, like, what if he finds out the TVA is trying to get him to do this job, but then he finds out when he gets the job is done, his universe will be destroyed. So he wants to save his friends. You know, I think that's what his entire thing will be about. Is saving his friends.
What if it's Wolverine who changes his mind? Because, I mean, Wolverine is a superhero. He's a hero. He's not really a bad guy.
Sure, yeah.
You know?
It'll be really interesting. Like, I have been thinking about Wolverine as just like this... I like you that you bring that up. Because I've been thinking about Wolverine as this very, like, I don't know, cartoon character. Like, I'm just excited to see those two on screen together as a comic book duo. But, like, he is also a character. And he could have actual impact on Deadpool. I think that's a really fun thought.
Yeah,
I love that too.
Hmm.
Yeah. So I don't know. I like it. Thanks, Rachel, for the feedback. I think all those are good points, and definitely, like, could have impact on the entirety of the MCU, or could create variants of people that we never thought, like, that we think were gone or whatever, you know, this could be a movie that generates variants for the upcoming Secret Wars, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool. Troy Galinsky says, "Hey Pandas, just listened to the Deadpool trailer podcast and noticed something that seemed unclear. When being talked to by the TVA, you mentioned not being able to read Wade's name tag, but when I rewatched it, definitely said something consultant, with the first word being very unclear. This threw me back to Loki, when I believe he was brought on as a consultant.
Right.
Until I looked at the bottom right of the name tag and saw it was for DriveMax. maybe Wade's new side job is what has made the last few years so hard for him. Love the podcast. I don't often get into deep Marvel conversations, so I look forward to the podcast every time something new is released. Love you. Somewhere in the low 600 to 900 range, Troy."
Right back at you, Troy.
Yeah, thanks, Troy. I'm glad that you caught that and wrote it in, because I did see some other people talk about how you could read it. Whatever version we were looking at, you couldn't read the name tag, but there are versions where you can read the name tag. And yeah, apparently he's a DriveMax employee.
Yeah, that's fun.
I think for whatever reason, it looks like Deadpool has given up Deadpooling. Like, he's not a mercenary anymore. Like, maybe that's what his, like, relationship with, maybe he's trying to make his relationship work with Vanessa or whatever, and but he's no longer a mercenary. Did she know he was a mercenary? I don't think she did.
I do think so. I think it came up in the first one, right?
Okay. I don't remember. I mean, obviously he saves
by the end of it, she would know.
Yeah, well, by the end of it, is he even a mercenary anymore? By the end of it, he's like Deadpool's always a merc, but like, yeah, at the end, he's just like a crazed person trying to save, kill that guy and to get cured. Like, it's just such a weird plot. I love that movie.
Yeah.
It's so good. So yeah, I don't know. I think the DriveMax thing is just that's what he's been doing lately. Like you said, Troy. I think that's what he's been doing maybe the last however long of his life. And he's, Now the TVA shows up. Maybe he's sort of a variant, you know? He's like the variant, kind of like the Baskin-Robbins version of Ant-Man, you know?
Right? I was just like, yeah, it's kind of like how Ant-Man can go work at Baskin-Robbins now.
Yeah. Like, what if we find out that's why they came to him? All the other versions of Wade were, like, pruned because they were causing big problems on their respective timelines, and he survived it because he, like, laid low the last few years or something. I don't know.
Like, it's fun.
Yeah, it's fun. No. Oh man. We got more Deadpool stuff to talk about. But before we do, we gotta tell you about one of our favorite things to do to get to sleep at night, and that's drink Beams Dream Powder.
I love it. I love it. I love that sweet cocoa peanut butter cup flavors, cinnamon, sea salt. Ugh, nothing like puts you in a relaxed mood, like a nice hot cup of cocoa that actually helps you sleep through the night.
For sure. It's a science-backed, healthy hot cocoa for sleep. It is such a game changer if you're someone who has a hard time finding the, like, just really getting into this brain space to sleep. I find that, like, just sitting with that nice ritual of that cup of cocoa is really, really helpful.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Whenever I try to, like, get rested and go to sleep, all of a sudden everything, like, embarrassing that I've said throughout the week comes into my mind. You know, you just have like 15 open tabs in your head, like, oh God. And I can't, I'm like, why is this coming? You know, things that I said 10 years ago are done.
Yeah.
They just come back and you're like, oh, you thought you were going to sleep tonight? Well, guess what? We're going to think about this thing from 2002, you know? And it's just the Beam really helps you, just even when those thoughts try to come in, Beam just takes them and puts them in a cloud and sends them away.
That's
and you
right.
go right to sleep.
Capture those disturbing clouds and push them away while you drift off to sleep.
They're like, think about that in the shower, girl.
Yeah, that's shower time. other sleep aids can cause next day grogginess, but Dream contains a powerful all-natural blend of reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, melatonin, and nano CBD to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. And today, our listeners get a special discount on Beam's Dream Powder, their science-backed, healthy hot cocoa for sleep with no added sugar. Better sleep has never tasted better. Numbers don't lie. In a clinical study, 93% of participants reported Dream helped them get better sleep. So if you want to try Beam's best-selling Dream Powder, get up to 40% off for a limited time when you go to shopbeam.com/MCUpod. And use code MCUPOD at checkout. That's shopbeam.com/MCUPOD and use code MCUPOD for up to 40% off.
Yeah, start sleeping better. Go to sleep, people. Go to sleep.
Go to sleep after you listen to this podcast or just like listen to us and call me Drink Your Beam.
There are a lot of people who say they listen to our podcast to go to sleep. And I'm like, this voice, that's Beam. Put you out.
So, moving back to some this wonderful Deadpool feedback that we have on deck. Let's see. Christopher Loggle says, hello, Ashley, Jeff, and Matt. Thanks for all the great content. I'm really enjoying the Infinity Saga rewatch.
Well,
I can't take credit for this. I was alerted to another small Easter egg in the Deadpool trailer in another video. Besides the Secret Word comic at the end, is that juice bottle first seen in 2008 Incredible Hulk. Edward Norton's Hulk loses a drop of blood in the bottling plant, and the Hulk blood infused ends up in Stanley's refrigerator, and he drinks from it. Thanks for all you guys do, Chris. Oh, wow. I didn't know about this connection.
Didn't he stop that, though? Didn't he find the bottle where the blood drop was in, or was that an... I don't remember. We just watched that movie. God damn it.
No, wait, you mean you're talking about
when Edward Norton cuts his finger he does, or whatever, he stops it, right?
He stops the machine, he goes down, wipes down a couple of the bottles, throws them out, but he misses one.
And okay. That one goes to Stanley.
Kills Stanley, yeah.
Okay.
So yeah. Totally that's a good call. I hadn't noticed that in the clip. I need to like go and watch it right now. I need to see that. See that sitting there? I haven't seen it.
Is that a juice bottle?
Yeah.
Also, Christopher, I really appreciate that when people are like, "I can't take credit for this," and like admit, like when I've read something from somewhere, I do the same thing. I'm not going to come in here and be like, "Hey, I came up with this all on myself." And I really appreciate when people do that because there's so much stuff on the internet. It's just hard.
Yeah, and like you know, I don't know if I've never heard it before, I can't like. Claim whatever, but yeah, I don't see a bottle. Maybe I'm just like
Christopher. Send us a screenshot.
Yeah, is back it in the email. Same shot as the Secret Invasion? Is that what he said? Besides the Secret Wars comic at the end. See, I'm looking right at
it. Beside
I do not.
It, or does That's, he mean besides?
Oh, it is. No, it is. It's laying on top of the comic, but it's really. It's like almost, it's so, I thought the comic was ripped and stretched, but it's actually part of the bottle that's sitting on top of the comic book on the left. I cannot tell that that's the same cola from that, but I bet you're right. Wow, that's cool. Yeah, thanks, Christopher. Yeah. Good call. I have not heard that yet. Up next, Emily Danielson says, hey, everyone. I'm a long-time listener, but I think this is only my second time writing in. I always think of what I'd want to say while driving / listening and then forget. But I remembered this time. I was listening to the Deadpool trailer coverage that you guys did, and I remembered an interview that I saw with Ryan Reynolds today that maybe alludes to the snow setting in the trailer. I'd be totally on board with the Age of Ultron plot, but the interview with Ryan made it seem like they had to film during the fall and winter more than anticipated due to the strike, pushing back production times. They filmed a lot in the UK. He referenced temps and how hard it was to find good weather in the UK outside of the summertime. He also said they tried not to do it all on sound stages whenever possible. The convo was not focused on locations. I think it was more about his suit. But his comments along with your guys' convo about Age of Ultron made me wonder if the snowy setting was just the side effects of those delays. Interesting. Just wanted to throw that out there to make it even more unpredictable. I love it, Emily.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like it just looks so similar. I mean, snow and pine trees looks similar everywhere, let's be serious. But I don't think that they would... I don't know. I don't know what to think. I would assume that they wouldn't make something look so similar unless there was a reason.
Yeah. So I saw somewhere else someone post they thought this looked like Logan's, the area Logan died in, which I don't agree at all.
No.
Unless, like, yeah, which I could see that, like, that being an idea. I mean, unless they're not worried about time, like, it is a forest, but that, yeah, anyway, I don't know, I'm bringing that up because I saw it somewhere.
It wasn't snowy, though.
No, right? It's not snowy at all. Now, it could be a different time, like, maybe he goes to where Logan's body is and's like, oh, got here too late or something, you know, like, I don't know, but, yeah, golly, I'm watching the scene where Logan dies right now. Just to see what those, I saw that somebody post that and I was like, I don't think that's right. Cause that doesn't to me look like the same area at all. And yeah, sure enough, it does not. But yeah, I do think it looks very similar to the Ultron stuff.
And they showed it, the Ultron stuff. I don't know.
What do you mean they showed it?
So, you know, they showed it in the TVs.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's true. You know what I really love about Emily's feedback though, is that she's like, just to make it more unpredictable. And I love that because like, that's what exactly what I do. Whenever I see something in a trailer, that's like, oh, I think that reveals too much about this movie. I always like do some sort of weird headcanoning to be like, okay, or it could be this, like, you know, I like not knowing what's going on.
Yeah, me too. Make us guess. Thing. I mean, what would we be doing here if they didn't do that?
Yeah, we gotta not know. We can't, if we knew, we'd be like, you know, we wouldn't have anything to talk about. okay. Now let's revisit some Madam Web.
Yeah.
Andre Sparks, another one of our patrons, has some Madam Web feedback saved to the end because I know some of you guys don't care as much about Madam Web. I honestly think that movie's going to stick with me is the thing. Like, it had some cool things and I feel like it's going to stick with me in a way that, like, some movies don't. So, like, that's kind of, like, it's making me think about it a lot. And, like, even though it's bad, there's just something, yeah, I don't know. There's good moments. I think Andre Sparks has even more positive feedback here, but let's see.
Well, he's such a contrarian. I'm over it.
What, Andre?
Yeah.
You mean contrarian? Does he?
If everybody knew that this movie is going to be bad, and I'm reading his first line, it's better than the Fantastic Four 2015. I'm like, I can't say that because when that movie came out, sure, it was bad back then, but we all didn't think it was that bad back then because we didn't have too much more to compare to. I mean, I liked that movie when it came out, to be honest.
You're talking about the 2015 one with
Josh,
like, Trank?
When those first came out, they were cute. They weren't great. Wait, I remember
being
like,
are you talking
about
Josh Trank's version or are you talking about the old version? You talking about the 90s version or the 2000s
version? The first line that he wrote here, the 2015, he's saying it's that Madam Web is better than the 2015 version.
Well, but you said them, and I'm trying to make sure you're talking about the right, because there's two different Fantastic Fours. There's the 2015 one is the one that's Fant-Four-stick that had, like,
yeah, with the guy who's from my town. And Kate Mara.
Miles Teller, and Kate Mara. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That's, I don't think that is, that is very, like, I'm glad you liked it. No hate on you. But that one is very, very, like, bashed at the time, I remember.
Oh, I know. Oh, no, it totally people was. Hated it's that not one. That I loved it. I just thought that it was like a different telling of the story.
Yeah.
And I know that they had to keep making movies to be able to keep the
license,
the rights to it.
Yeah.
But, and I'm like, if you're going to do it, do something weird.
Yeah.
All right. I love Miles Teller.
I don't know how I feel about this one versus that. I do think the Josh Trank movie was better directed. I've only seen it once. I saw it once and it didn't stick with me.
Same.
So I can't like defend it greatly, but I do think that to me that one was better directed, but yeah, and probably better acted. Like, there's better actors in that, but yeah, I think the actors in Fantastic from 2015, like, I think they are actually trying. I don't think that, I think the movie has its flaws, but I don't think it's because people aren't trying.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's some meddling from the studio and stuff, but like those, to me, the biggest sin of Madam Web is that Dakota Johnson just doesn't feel like she's trying, like, at all. And it's a real bummer. But anyway, okay, let's hear what Andre has to say. Andre Sparks, one of our patrons, says, "Hey guys, just saw Madam Web. It's better than the Fantastic Four from 2015. Was this the best movie? No, but it's nowhere near the bottom of movies in my opinion. I thought they did a lot of setup for Cassandra Webb." Let me pause right there and just say, I didn't know her name. I honestly didn't know her name.
Didn't know it was Cassandra Webb?
No, I had no idea what her name was from the comics. And like, when she first, it was like, she doesn't introduce herself early in the movie. It's like toward the like very middle of the movie, she says, "My name's Cassie Webb." And I was like, that's a terrible name for this character. I don't like it at all. Like,
well, Cassandra is from, it's like the Grecian, she could see the future and the entire like community turned against her and killed her. So that's why I always like, you know, Madam Webb because of that whole.
I think Cassandra Webb sounds so much better, but Cassie Webb sounds just really terrible. I don't know. I really don't like it. I didn't like it at all when I heard it in the movie. But yeah, I hear you. I like the literary reference, but yeah. Okay. I thought they did a lot to set up Cassandra Webb. Definitely showed growth through the movie, and by the end ended up being what I know her to be from the 90s animated series. I don't know anything about her comic book origins, but in the Spider-Man animated series, she definitely seemed dry, but with a little wit and humor. Dakota may not be the best, but maybe she was the best to portray the character. I also think the movie did a good job with her powers. This is just an origin story, so obviously her powers can evolve. I will say, I did think while watching this movie, once she becomes Madam Web and has the sort of like, I'm disconnected and not present, you know what I mean? Like, I'm seeing the future all the time. I could see Dakota Johnson's performance fitting that. Like, because she is so dry and doesn't feel present. Like, maybe she was going for like, but I don't think so. Like, I do think that what he's saying is fair, that like, she might play a better Madam Web than she did Cassandra Web or whatever.
Yeah, she was like, probably the least expensive. Get real.
Who was? Dakota Johnson?
Of the people who didn't want to probably do this movie. And of all of them, they were like, oh God. Because I mean, honestly, what is she doing right now? Not much.
Right.
But you have to go into casting and what goes into making movies to decide that, you know, it's not that she was the best to portray it. It was probably the best that was within their budget of someone who wanted to actually do it.
Right. Yeah. All right. He continues. I also appreciated that Sydney Sweeney got to portray someone different. Yes.
What does he mean by that? Because if you're talking about her movie catalog and TV show catalog, she has played some pretty different roles.
Okay. I don't know her catalog very well, so I can't say.
Euphoria, she's amazing on.
I know, I've seen her in that.
She was amazing in The White Lotus. And then she was in this one where she was like a killer or like being accused of murder. I think that one was called Reality. Yeah, so she has been growing and showing her like active chops. So I don't think that of all her movie catalog, that Madam Web shows her different style of acting. But I didn't see it, so continue.
Yeah. I also appreciate that Sydney Sweeney got to play something different. Yes, she could have been the hot superhero, but she got to actually be someone who got to grow and change throughout the movie. So Sydney Sweeney's character in the movie, this is just me talking, is, I hear what Andre's saying. I don't know if I agree with him. She has the most growth of any of the three characters, the three spider women that are the three young girls or whatever, but it's like she starts the movie as a nerd and is like, you know, it feels stereotypical.
I believe that she's a
nerd. Yeah, it feels so freaking stereotypical, like, so like they give her glasses and a sweater and then she's shy.
Oh, she's not. That's like what they did with Andrew Garfield when they had him be Spider-Man. They're like, 'cause Spider-Man's supposed to be that kind of nerdy kind of whatever. And I'm glad they didn't really do it with Tom Holland, because like, I'm too old to be like, he's hot Spider-Man, but I wasn't for Andrew Garfield. And I'm like, yeah, that guy's hot. What are you doing? Or even Clark, you know, it's Superman when they just put those glasses on Henry Cavill.
I will say they do at least try to give her some lines where she's like being super nerdy. Like she's like, well, if we do this, we this will happen. And like, she just has some like kind of sciencey sort of nerdiness to her. And then the influence of the other girls around her, they sort of bring her out of her shell. But the problem is the movie doesn't show it well. And there's a, there's a moment where she's like the shy girl who doesn't want to go up and talk to the boys. Like there's a table of boys and they want to go talk to the boys. And she's like, no, I don't want to. I don't want to. And then she kind of grabs her hands and then she like grabs her sweater and ties it up so her midriff is showing. And she's like, no, come talk to the boys with me. And she's like, what are you doing to me? It's like a really like not functional scene. I don't know. But the really terrible part is though, then they cut away to Madame Web doing her thing, right? Mm-hmm. And then when Madame Web finally comes in the diner, they're on the table in the diner dancing for the boys at their table. Oh, like, it's like she came out of her shell real fast.
Quick. Someone gave her an apple martini.
So, like, I hear what Andre's saying. They do get, she has the most to grow in the movie of anybody. Of the three.
She's
better.
She's Jessica Drew.
Is she Jessica Drew?
I thought she was supposed to be Jessica Drew, who's my favorite Spider-Woman.
I don't even know, to be honest. No, Sydney Sweeney played Julia Carpenter.
Oh, okay, so Jessica Drew wasn't even in there?
Sydney Sweeney is Julia Cornwell. Isabel Marced is Anya Corazon. And Celeste O'Connor is Maddie Franklin, which are all versions of Spider. Like, two of them are Spider-Woman, and one of them is something else Spider-related.
Yeah, that's crazy. Even if you look it up, it says, like, she's supposed to be Jessica Drew, so I don't know where they fell off with that.
Oh, I have no idea. I have no idea. But, so they give her room to try to move, and it sucks, because, like, even now I'm talking about Andre's feedback. Like, I wrote him back. I was like, I'm glad to hear other people found some positives in this movie. But even me and him, like, kind of disagree about what is a positive in this movie, so it's like, yeah.
Well, he likes Secret Invasion. He was coming at people for, like, disliking that. I'm just like, are you doing this on purpose?
I think, I don't know. It seems like Andre just has, like, a generally... he's trying. He's there to enjoy it, you know, and I am too. Like, I feel him. I feel like I get that way sometimes where I'm like, I'm really trying to enjoy everything. So sometimes I feel like I'm being a contrarian when I really am just like trying to see the best in these things, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't want to say he like is not being honest about it or anything. Let's see. Now, yes. Could the movie have been better with Spider-Man in it or other villains? Yes. But if Madame Web ends up helping somehow in the Spider-Verse or Secret Wars, Madame Web could be a very powerful hero. I think that's the point of this movie. Introduce an important character that could be in a team up later. I think they didn't have a post-credit scene in her movie because she will pop up at the end of Spider-Man 4 with Maguire and Garfield to recruit him for Secret Wars. Matt, I also loved seeing Uncle Ben and Mary Parker. Also, hearing about Richard Parker definitely makes me think he is in the CIA or SHIELD. Definitely the most screen time ever for both of those characters. If you had the choice, would you want the Sony Spider-Women to show up in Secret Wars for a formal or a formal Spider-Man movie? Off to prep for X-Men 97. Peace easy, Andre. Ooh, would we want to see these Spider-Women in a formal Spider-Man movie?
I'm going to say no, because I'm not ready. I need my more down-to-earth Spider-Man movie to come next.
Yeah.
And it's like, we got the Maguire-Garfield thing. Like, appreciate what we got and let it go. Just because we saw that happened in, you know, Far From Home or whatever one it is, doesn't mean, like, they're coming back to do this over and over and over again.
I think if anything, if we see these people again, I do not think it will be in the MCU. I think it will be in Sony's version of whatever they're trying to build. And I don't know if I want to see them in those movies. It's hard to know because I think this movie is such a mess that it's really hard to know if these characters have potential beyond this. Like, those three, they were the three of the shining things. It's like Adam, Scott, and those three girls, I think, like, did a good job in the movie. Like, they put the effort in. They were trying to And sorry, those three women as actresses, I keep calling them girls because in the movie they're supposed to be like 15, but they're not.
We're a little older than everybody else. They're still girls to me. You're a girl until you're 40.
Well, and I know we haven't talked about this, but that's one of my biggest complaints about this movie is one of the major dynamics of the movie is supposed to be these three high school kids are meeting up with this older lady who has these powers and she's supposed to be protecting them. But like the age difference is only like 6 years or 8 years or something like that between like Sydney Sweeney and Dakota Johnson. It's not that wide. And so they have all these jokes in the movie about like, it's kind of like these okay boomer type lines. And like Dakota Johnson just doesn't pull off old and they don't pull off young. And so like they don't look like they're in high school. She doesn't look like she's 40 and it just doesn't work. It like it's weird.
Like she's older in the comics. I mean, she's got like the gray hair and and you know, not that that makes you old. Everybody gets, you know. But you know, I think you're supposed to know that she's older. And I'm surprised that they didn't like get Cate Blanchett. Stop messing around. Let's bring some real talent in.
I think that would have made this movie 10,000 times better if they had just picked an actress. They weren't trying to go with like, I don't know, youth and hotness of Dakota Johnson, and they tried to go with like someone who's been around a while, who's actually in their 40s or something, and like, and then you know, maybe go younger with the actresses as well. But I think, like I said, I think the actress did a good job. It is like really noticeable that they're not 15, though.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. That's why Euphoria is kind of funny because you're watching Euphoria, like Jacob Elordi, you know, Sydney Sweeney, Zendaya. You're like, you guys are not 18. Zendaya pulls it off because she's got that young baby face. But everybody else, like as the season, even by season two, you can see a definite like step up of the age.
But even that, like, so like you said, Sydney Sweeney in Euphoria is paying like 18. What's like
17, 18?
Like it's like 8 years later since Euphoria started. When did Euphoria start? Like 2018, 20. It's been around a while. So yeah, she was young. Like, so her pulling off that show. I don't know when it was released.
Look it up.
Her pulling
2019.
Off,
so
okay, so it's been 5 years. Like, she is 5 years older now. And in this movie, it felt like they were making her out to be. She's supposed to be underage for sure. Like, she's under 18 because like part of the plot is that the cops think that Madame Web kidnapped these three girls.
She's 26.
Yeah. So she was like 21, maybe probably 20 when she actually was like starring in the first season of Euphoria. Yeah, and like, okay.
Damn, she's 34. That's younger than I thought. It was. Damn.
Yeah.
Aim is so old. I'm an old hag. I could have played Madame Web.
Yeah. Cast Ashley as Madame Web.
Yeah, do it. I'll change her. I'll fix your movie. We have the same hair.
Yeah. It's not too far off. You're our Madame Web.
I can see the future.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you got those witchy powers over there. Thank you, Andre, for that feedback. We appreciate you. Before we move on, let's talk about Miracle Made bedsheets.
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
My favorite bedsheets.
I love them. I still, since I got my first pack, I mean, I don't even, you know how everybody has like three or four sets of bed sheets and they rotate? Yeah. No. My bed stays completely empty. The sheets get washed and it go right back on because I honestly do. I'm such a hot sleeper. I haven't been able to find anything. No, you know, no pajamas, no other thing to really help me with my night sweats because I have very overactive imagination and my dreams are intense and I just wake up covered. I'm like, ugh. I just saved a city. But yeah, no, there's nothing better. Because I mean, when you have your partners, they don't even want to touch you. They don't, you know, ugh.
Well, Miracle Made bed sheets are the thing to do for that. They've got self-cooling properties. They're infused with silver in the fabrics. They're inspired by NASA, and it makes Miracle Made bed sheets thermoregulating, and they're designed to keep you at the perfect temperature all night long. So you get a better night's sleep every night. And not only does the silver infused bed sheets make it cooler and not so sweaty, it also they're self-cleaning. So not only are you not sweating so much, so you're not making your sheets as dirty as you could, but they're also kills 99.7% of bacteria. You have to change your sheets less often. It's really, really great. And it can be great for your skin and just great for overall comfort. And man, the bed sheets feel really, really high quality too. So highly recommend Miracle bed sheets.
Great colors.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I have the cayenne pepper ones.
Ooh, that sounds nice. I ended up getting the basic white. I found that out about my partner as I was, what should I order? And they're like, bed sheets should always be white. And I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, not in this house.
That's not what I've always thought, but I was like, oh, yeah, let her pick. It's fine.
Yeah.
I don't have strong opinions, but the white look very, very nice, very luxurious. Go to trymiracle.com/MCU to try Miracle Made sheets today. And whether you're buying them for yourself or as a gift for a loved one, if you order today, you can save 40% and use promo code MCU at checkout, and you'll get 3 free towels and save an extra 20%. Miracle is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you aren't 100% satisfied, you'll get a full refund. Upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to miraclemade.com/MCU and use code MCU to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save up to 40% off. Again, that's trymiracle.com/MCU to treat yourself. Thank you, Miracle Made, for sponsoring this episode.
Yeah, stop being a sweat monster. Get with it.
Yeah, stop being a sweat monster like Ashley.
Yeah.
She. Oh man. We got a few more feedbacks in here we could grab from these various places. We got some Loki in here that I haven't really sorted anymore. Let's see. How about we get to we got one Echo feedback left. Let's get that one. How about it?
Sure.
Yeah. The Blurred Wire says, "So I finished Echo. Overall, I think it was a little disappointing we didn't get more Daredevil, and I heard that Echo was still supposed to be a villain, and I didn't really get that. Like, I think the series would have been super cool if we started out with Kingpin offering Echo the Queen Pin gig, and she decided to take it so she can force him out. Throughout the series, she'd fight Daredevil while secretly turning Kingpin's guys on him. At the end, she could have forced him out and she'd be the new Queenpin. And now, Kingpin, seeking power, decides to run for mayor with some of his loyal gangs. Just a thought. I would have loved to see Maya as a villain with flashbacks to her past. P.S. for Ashley, I know Madam Web looks pretty bad, but I'm probably going to see it too. I'd recommend watching The High Note with Tracy Ellis Ross beforehand. Dakota Johnson is actually pretty good in that movie.
I mean, I highly doubt it, but I'll take your word for it. I've seen a lot of her films.
I got a lot of those messages when we were talking about going to see Madam Web or whatever. I got a lot of like, oh, you don't like Dakota Johnson, but check this one out. Like, and then a lot of them were ones I had, you know, I've seen a couple.
Came right back at people like, was she the best part of that movie, or did she just have a stat cast around her like Jason Segel and that other movie where she, I believe she has cancer or something. It's called like My Best Friend. And that movie, that's not what it's called, but it's something like that. And it's like these two guy best friends have, you know, or this couple has a best friend who's like a guy, and, you know, they start going through this really hard time when she gets cancer, and the two of them like start working together to like take care of her. And that movie, yeah, is really an emotional movie, but could you have swapped Dakota Johnson out with any other character actor?
Right.
100%.
Yeah.
You know,
probably similarly, Peanut Butter Falcon, I really like, but it's not for her, you know, like that movie's good, right? And she's fine in it. She's serviceable, but like she's, yeah, I don't know. It just seems like she, particularly in Madam Web, it feels like she just feels like it's beneath her or something. Yeah. And I get why she'd feel that way as like someone who has like, you know, whatever, Nepo baby, Hollywood royalty for parents. Like she wants to be in the movie that like gets her the most respect. And this is not going to be that movie. And especially, but it could have been if she put the kind of effort in to make it that.
Or maybe she was trying. I'm telling you, she's just got one of those laissez-faire kind of meh.
Right. Yeah.
Meh. Mm. So Bill Bria said that there is a movie that premiered at Sundance. I don't believe it was this year. I think it was last year that still never got bought, that he said was with her. And I believe it's a lesbian kind of movie. I'm so sorry. I don't know what the plots are. If I find out, I'll next week, I'll elaborate, but he said that that was actually an insanely good movie and she really showed her acting chops, but it's weird that no one has bought the film to produce it. Yeah, I'll find out what the title was from him.
Weird. Okay. What do you think about this idea of like the movie being a little more focused on the, or Echo, the series being a little more focused on her becoming Queen Pin and trying to
totally disagree.
Daredevil. Yeah.
We need, this was, it wasn't an origin story for her, but it also was her origin story. And they said that this show was going to exist on the outskirts of the actual MCU having to watch stuff. So I wanted this to be just really about her. If you would have had Daredevil in it for too long, it would have been stealing focus. He was in it enough to show that she could go toe to toe with him, which I think was all we really needed to see to know her power levels. If it would have just been about the, you know, and who says that that is not coming, you know?
Yeah.
Exact thing that you just described isn't coming.
Yeah.
We don't know that
could
yet.
Could be the next chapter.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I did not hear that she was supposed to be still a villain exactly. I know in the comics that she's not exactly a hero. I never got that message in the marketing or anything. But she definitely didn't have villain vibes. I mean, like, I think she's not a hero for the first big chunk of this movie, but she's not really a villain, I would say.
You know what makes me think about that? The scene when she hurts the bird. I feel like that was kind of to kind of show us, like, she does, even at that young, kind of had that, a different streak in her. Mm. I don't know. I feel like the more I thought about that scene where the bird gets hurt, and then she goes and then she lies about it, and then she tells the truth. It just shows, like, I don't know, there's something, I don't know. I felt like that scene was meant more than... than just like it was supposed to, you know, just on the server. Oh, you know, we're showing that their mom has the powers and this and that.
Right. I don't even think it meant more, but I took it as to mean she was curious enough and like challenged herself in this like hunting this bird, and then she got it. But then her empathy immediately like overtook her and wanted to run to get help. You know what I mean? So like,
yeah.
I think that was showing. Like, I think that scene is supposed to be juxtaposed against the scene later with the ice cream man or whatever it is, or the hot dog vendor or whatever he is on the street, when Kingpin beats him up, because like she sees a bird injured and wants to see it helped, and then later she sees that man injured, but it's after she's gone through all this trauma, and then she's just like,
yeah, well, the bird didn't do anything to her the way that guy did.
Sure.
I would kick that guy in the face too. But she has that. I feel like the villains don't get enough attention. I don't know. I really kind of like, let her be a villain. Let her be in the middle, maybe.
Yeah.
Like a Punisher.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm all on board for her having more of a complex story and everything, but...
or become the Queen Pin. I love that.
Yeah.
I would be so down.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool. All right. Let's hit a couple of Loki ones, just because, you know, it's my favorite.
Let's do it.
Emma Hunter says, oh my, I'm trying to comprehend what I just watched, and I'm thinking, hey, no post credits, that's surprising. And then it hits me, oh my god, we didn't get a Loki will return at the end. We had Captain America will return, we had Star-Lord will return, meanwhile it seems that Loki will just remain. I need to lie down now. Thanks for everything, for all time always, Emma from England.
Yeah,
that is rough. That is sad. That is a bummer to think about not getting any Loki back.
I refuse to accept Eric. Not like, no, we're definitely at some point. Come on, Tommy Hids.
Yeah. I think if we move towards something like Secret Wars and it's in the MCU gets its cachet back a little bit. I think some of these actors who really do, they keep saying these things about how they feel protective of their characters and all this stuff. And some of them, I think, like, they're hearing the bad press and stuff, and they're going like, ooh, is Marvel losing a step? Maybe I don't want to do it. But I think if, like, we see a little bit of a recovery with Deadpool and Wolverine, then we'll start to see some of those people come back.
Yeah.
For Secret Wars, at least. Stephen Lyles says, hey, y'all. I just had a major plot hole for Loki season 2 pop into my head. If Loki removed all other Lokis from existence / the timeline in episode 1, then how is Sylvie able to still exist? For all time always, Steven with a V.
What?
I don't remember Loki removing all other Lokis from existence.
Me neither. And if he did, he wouldn't remove Sylvie.
Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about, Steven. I'm sorry. Please write in and remind us. And I'll if you write in and remind us, I will check out the episode again. But I do not remember anything with him erasing all of the Lokis. Seems like that would have been a big thing to remember. If Loki removed all other Lokis from existence / the timeline.
In episode one of what? Season two?
Or is he, or he's saying a plot hole for season two. So is he saying, I think maybe he's, that's how he, maybe that's what he means when Loki takes over the throne. Like Loki's removing himself from the timeline, but I don't think that's true. I think that's just this Loki is sitting at the center of the Yggdrasil world tree. And all the other Lokis are still out there.
Yeah.
I did not take that as anything. But yeah, let us know if we miss it. We're missing something. The Wholesome says, what an episode. I hate to say it, but this, but I don't think Loki and Thor are getting their reunion anytime soon. I'm happy for Mobius, and boy, was I getting chills from Jonathan Majors. I liked hearing about the 616 adjacent realm, i.e. Quantumania. Curious to hear your thoughts for all time, for all Loki time, always Wholesome.
Well, you better enjoy those chills while they lasted.
yeah, that's true. Not likely to get any more Jonathan Majors chills from this universe.
No.
And I agree. I really liked the call out to the 616 adjacent universe, which does give us a little bit of an answer about the quantum realm being 616 adjacent. So it is a realm that is adjacent to 616, not inside 616, kind of like right. We've talked about, but does that mean it's also adjacent to other universes and that's how they travel through them? I'm guessing. That's my guess. still holding on to that theory. Yeah. All right. Well, I just wanted to throw in a couple of those Lokis because they're fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's about all from us today. What did you anything you want to tell the people about, Ashley?
Sure. We just over on Bingers, you can follow us where me, Matt, Jay Scotty, and Haley are all doing the Oscar stuff, which we're almost done with, crazily. 10 films. We're doing a great job. And then on Bingers, we also just dropped the first episode for 2021's Dune Part 1. Because we're going to do Dune, we're going to do Dune 2 when it comes out, and then after those two movies are done and we had a minute to sit with it, we're going to do the David Lynch one, because as everyone knows, the David Lynch one is both of those movies in one movie, just to see how everything kind of compares and talk about the Alejandro Jodorowsky version that we never got. Like, there's just a lot that we're going to be doing. So Bingers is popping.
Yeah, it is.
And Bill and Ashley's Terror Theater, we just recorded about The Witch, Robert Eggers' first debut film. So if you want to watch that and then check out everything we have to say, which we had a lot to say, that's one of my favorite of the newer. I think it started the new wave of horror that we have now with the Ari Asters and the blah, 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 and all the, you know, things that we're getting. So I think we went for like 2 hours. So definitely watch the movie and then come join us over at Bill and Ashley's Terror Theater.
Sweet. The Witch. I haven't seen it. I'll have to check that out.
Really? It's Anya Taylor-Joy? Joyce.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the first thing I remember seeing her in and just being blown away. She's 18 in it, and it is just, you know, it's a stunning film.
Sweet. I'll check it out. And check out your podcast, of course. Yeah, so we'll be back with more MCU cast in a couple of days, and just so much going on. I feel like this week, there's so much to talk about with Fantastic Four, Madam Web, and Deadpool and Wolverine. It's just like, and X-Men 97 coming in just a few weeks. So we got a lot of
things to come. I did see the trailer. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Did you see Marvel's doing like a worldwide rewatch of the animated? It's like two episodes or one episode a day so that everybody can catch up.
No, I didn't.
And I'm like, oh my God, that means that they're definitely going to use those X-Men as what's going on, you know, because there's so many different versions of the X-Men through the comics and this and that. But if they're doing this and they're pushing this hard like this, then I am thrilled that that's my X-Men. So,
right. Yeah. It's so many of our X-Men. And that's it's interesting because I do think we're going to get at least a them showing up somehow. I don't know if they'll be the X-Men we use, but like
right.
the fact that like in the Deadpool trailer we see that white clad patch version of Wolverine from behind playing cards, and then we also see the yellow clad Wolverine. I feel like he is going to be popping around looking for a Wolverine. Like, I could even, you know, we've talked about how we don't want them to change anything about that Logan moment. Like, I could totally see him, like, getting a chance to grieve Logan inside the Deadpool yeah. movie, and then going like, well, I got to get a different Wolverine. I need a Wolverine, and him, like, popping around from universe to universe. So, like, if we're getting multiple versions of Wolverine, I think we are definitely going to get some sort of crossover with the X-Men 97.
God, I hope so.
Would be cool. I started my rewatch this week. I woke up and had breakfast and watched the first episode, which was interesting.
Aww, the mall one, right?
Yeah. The Jubilee introduction in the mall.
Yeah.
Night of the Sentinels. And it's just so funny because I've seen, not only have I seen a lot of that show, but I've seen, for whatever reason, that episode, like, I don't even know, 15 times.
Because if you went to Pizza Hut when we were younger, they had the double VHSs that they were giving away all the time. So I had those first two episodes, and I remember watching it over and over and over again.
Nice.
So I bet there's a lot of people, like, you might not even, like, remember it. But yeah, they showed that a lot.
I definitely saw that episode, I don't even know how many times. And I've probably tried to go back and rewatch the animated series before, too. But yeah, it's cool. It's super fun to see. And can't wait. We'll be back, guys, here on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Hey, you just listened to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast from Stranded Panda. I really hope you liked it. Let me just say a big thank you to all of our supporters on patreon.com/MCUcast. You are the lifeblood of our little operation here. And a huge, huge thank you to our insanely generous Illuminati tier patrons, Walter Kreisky III, Lieutenant Bongo, and Jazz Viz. You guys are amazing. If you'd like to see our beautiful faces, you can catch a video version of many of our episodes at youtube.com/strandedpanda. Love you 3,000, my friends.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stopped, opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text THIN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text THIN to 200-300. That's THIN to 200-300. THIN to 200-300.